You might think that Jesus, in order to prove who he is, would perform some great wonder there in the sight of Thomas. But instead, he shows him his wounds. Now this he had done before in Luke's gospel as well. Why would the Lord call attention to his wounds as a proof of his resurrection and of his lordship? Thomas, after this experience, confesses, my Lord and my God. It's quite a mystery. The wounds of Jesus are the manifestation of his divinity. How can that be? His humanity is the place of this manifestation. His wounds are a sign of his love, and also of the fragility which he embraced in order to save us. He didn't save us by some decree from a mountain. He saved us by entering into the very depth of our humanity and suffering, and offering that suffering to God, his Father. And therefore, we are reconciled to God. And Jesus is the source of our grace, of our life. And it all comes from his wounds. The reality of the humanity of God. It's quite amazing. The only one among us who's not embarrassed to be human is Jesus. We all find fault with it. Well, of course, our humanity is sinful. But there's something deeper going on here. You know, that God would become that fragile. And then that incarnate and having suffered and risen, he would be that humble to come and say, all right, Thomas, and put your finger here, put your hand here, and then don't be unbelieving anymore. See, Thomas, like the rest of us, wouldn't just deny the resurrection. He would then be denying the whole plan of the Father and the true identity of Jesus, the true identity of Jesus. He wasn't some heavenly figure who came down, clothed himself in the illusion of humanity and taught us great lessons, which is the Gnostic view, whether it be the old Gnostics or the new Gnostics. But that, he was a child. The Gospels, except for one incident in Luke, go from the birth to the public ministry. Well, of course, they don't know much about, they only know what Mary told them or what Jesus told them. And they have to teach us what Jesus said and did. But think of those years when he was a child. How human. He didn't just become born and in a year be a 30-year-old man. What was he doing? Most of his life was spent as a very ordinary human being. If he lived 33 years, 30 of them were in a town where there was no road to go to. It was only a path to Nazareth in our Lord's day. It was that insignificant. And had an insignificant trade, technie it's called here, carpenter, whatever Joseph was, in a very small town, interacting every day with the rest of the town folk. What humility. Why? So that in his humanity he could absorb all that it goes to being human. And not just he has a human nature, he has a human life. and he has human relationships, and he grew up. Now, you know, sometimes we theologians have been thinking, well, you know, did he get sick? Did he fall down? Did he? Well, and our usual answer is, well, you know, we hurt ourselves a lot because we're stupid and we're fragile. But he wasn't stupid. No, he wasn't. But he was human. And when you think of the suffering, the interior suffering, that began the moment he began to preach, opposition, mockery, especially from the leaders of his own people. And he is the Word, the living, eternal, divine Son of God. And so you see, the wounds that he bore were not only those from the cross, but from 3 years of loneliness. The fellows he chose were doing their best, but they sure didn't understand him. Peter, his chosen leader, the first time Jesus started to talk about his suffering, said, there's no talk of suffering with you, Lord. Far be this from you. And he had to call him Satan. Get out of my way, Satan, because you're speaking the things of man, not those of God. You're not in tune with my Father's plan. And so you see, this moment when he is going to definitively prove that he is the risen Lord, he shows his wounds. He doesn't do some dramatic sign. The reality of the humanity of Jesus is the sign. And it's a real sign. And it's a humanity for 30 years getting ready, entering into every facet of human life, working for a living, living in a family, interacting with the neighbors, you know, playing with his playmates. And all of that human life he brings to this act of love in which he died in great pain on the cross. And so in order to prove to Thomas and to us who he really is, he shows us his wounds. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you have thought he'd say, Thomas, stand there. You see that star up there? I'm going to make it twirl around 10 times. Then you'll know who I am. No. Here. You see these wounds? And these wounds are still there. It says in the book of Revelation, right? The Lamb standing, still bearing the marks of his slaughter. Literally. And so you see, while we have to repent and be embarrassed by our sins, we also have to be proud of the fact that the Lord is beginning to transform our wounds. And we'll have them. You know, St. Augustine, meditating on this story, says, you know, all the martyrs will be there in heaven, you know, bearing the signs of their slaughter. And there'll be signs of glory, signs of wonder that their bodies went through this in order to witness to the reality and the majesty of Jesus. The only thing we have to be embarrassed about is our sin. And that, once it's forgiven, is also a claim to fame. A claim. Look, I am a living witness of the mercy of God. I think today, Thomas is sort of our patron saint for this. He makes it finally the most profound act of faith, verbal act of faith, in the whole of the New Testament. My Lord and my God. To this man standing there, showing his wounds. I think we could be so touched and invited to conversion if we would grasp this love and this humility of Jesus. If you're going to prove that you're a real Christian, would you show your wounds? Or would you like to do a miracle? You see, the resurrection is the message to us that nothing truly human, even wounded, is lost. It's transformed. That's why we begin every Mass with repenting for our sins. The sins can't be transformed. The wounds can. And so we repent for our sins to prepare to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd invite you today to just ask the Lord to show you what it was like that for 30 of his 33 years, he was a small town fellow with a rather insignificant job in a little house in a town to which there was no real road. And that when he began his ministry, despite his teaching and despite his miracles, he was opposed, he was contradicted, he was hated, and finally he was killed. And when Thomas is having problems and says, I want to put my hand here, Jesus says, Thomas, go right ahead. I will bear these wounds for eternity. I'm not embarrassed by them. And I'm not embarrassed by being human. These will shine glorious forever, Thomas. And that depth of that love and that humility shining through that glorious body led him to the deepest act of faith in the whole of the New Testament. My Lord and my God.